Amen.
Amen.
All right. First of all, thank you for your generosity to us.
Amen.
Above and beyond, as usual. We are humbled. I think, you know, we are in your debt for just your kindness to us, your encouragement to us. And thank you.
Amen.
From meals to the off, and thank you. Thank you for making us feel at home.
Amen.
And we do. And you know what they say about crazy old uncles? They're hard to get rid of. So, next time. We're on a schedule for 2021 if the Lord tarries. Brother Riggs is already making flight arrangements so he can be here.
Amen.
Amen. And next time I'm going to work with the men here, and we'll try to get the meal thing set down, because we lost out on the fellowship. We did, and I see that. So I was thinking more, I don't know. But we're going to, maybe we'll take a day off, but we're going to, you know, work through that a little better. All right? What am I forgetting? You want to say anything?
Love you guys.
Amen. All right. I know. That's the deal. I'll get her to say. We had a request, so here it goes. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. Do not fear. Just keep playing. I don't know. Keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners and so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify. That His love is everlasting, and His mercies, they will never end. God is good, help us out. All the time, He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
All the time.
Though I may not understand all the plans He has for me, my life is in His hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. He's so good. God is good all the time. Amen.
Is
that good? Now we're going to sing what we was planning on singing. Is that okay? It's all right by you? Okay, that's all I care about. Amen. Ready? Is that a yes? You can join the chorus on this if you know it. You probably do. Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For the joy and peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Here goes. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be God's child.
Amen.
Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it's wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. I can go directly to the Lord in prayer. He has told me I may boldly enter there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And He listens as His promises I plead. I find mercy there and grace for every need. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it's wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. And the hope of heaven's glories thrill me so. Where I'll live with Christ forevermore, I know. That is why the things of earth I loosely hold. I've eternal riches better far than gold. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it's wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Oh, it's wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. It is wonderful to be Christian. My life had no purpose. Not at all. I thought it did. I'm living for me. Talk about vanity. Amen. But I got a purpose now.
Amen.
And it's easy to fulfill my purpose. If I see somebody that's not saved, I can give them a tract or invite them to church or tell them about Jesus Christ. If I see another Christian, I can say a word that might encourage them. Amen. I mean, and everywhere you turn, there's opportunities as a child of God. Now, you don't have to say, but if it was him that came up with the pink balloon, just point at him. Point at him. Okay. So, wait till I tell them back east. I had a birthday party in Texas, and they brought pink balloons. All right. But with that kind of offering, I won't tell them what church it was. All right, so here's some tips, and, you know, they're real relevant. You know you're getting older when? So here's a little list here. And when you and your teeth don't sleep together. When you try to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks and realize you're not wearing any socks. At the breakfast table, you hear snap, crackle, and pop, and you're not having cereal. All right? When your idea of a night out is sitting on the patio. Yeah, I resemble all this, man. Okay. When you're on vacation and your energy runs out before your money does. Yeah, I never thought that happened. It happens. It takes longer to rest than it did to get tired. You know you're getting older when the twinkle in your eye is merely the reflection of the sun in your bifocals. Amen. When your back goes out and you stay home, that's a tip off right there. When people think you have more patience, but it's actually that you just don't care anymore. And I added this to this list. When my daughter comes in, Dad, I saw this old guy. And I tell her, say, really? How old was he? And she goes, well, about, no, much older than you, Dad. Much older than you. You know you're getting older when your kids have to check their stories. Amen. But praise the Lord. I am thrilled to death. Amen. I'm going to go on Social Security. Oh, wait a minute. They find out how much you give me, I'll be in another tax bracket. All right. Let's take our Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, I heard a
It's about time
coming. So I'm going to go on ahead. Yes, ma'am. Yes, you flagged me down in front of everybody. What? Got it. Thank you for reminding me. Could have done a little earlier. We have a niece, 32 years old, precious saint of God. How many children? Three? Three little kids. Her and her husband are involved in, it's called a Gentile ministry, and it is a ministry to the Israeli Defense Forces and some other things in Israel. 32 years old. Her brother has been on the field in Mongolia for about 18 years, and she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, my wife sent out over 50, maybe over 60 requests to ladies all over the country to pray for her. Some are going to send her cards. Her name is Joanna Edwards, and she is a precious soul. She's just a really sweet girl. And if you guys could remember the chemo, super duper chemo, something starts tomorrow, and we accept whatever God, and she does too. But buddy, we're gonna pray. And if you guys would pray for her, if you'd remember her, that would be probably the biggest thing you could do for the Spurgeons. All right? 2 Corinthians 13, and verse number 11. Now, Paul's written a lot. This is the second epistle winding down. He gets to the end of it. And it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." Boy, it can't get any better than that. All right, so what I notice is, as he gets to the end, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell," and he doesn't stop talking. He says the things that we read. It's almost like, oh yeah, one more thing. Or, tonight's title, last but not least. He says, "Finally," and that's a word we'll key off of. And preachers like to use the word "finally." They'll be preaching through, and you'll wonder how long they're going to go. And they'll say things like "finally" or "last of all." Or we've got the phrases, you know, and we work them all into each message sometimes. Or, "I'll close with this." And you're going, "Wait a minute, you said..." My favorite phrase is, was an evangelist from Georgia up in the mountains. His name was Earl Hughes. And he first time I ever heard him preach at a camp meeting, he says, "Just give me 5 country minutes. So I'm just a new Christian. I'm soaking it all in. And I did notice my watch. And here's what I noticed. Two things. Country minutes are longer than city minutes. The other thing, I'm confusing myself. The other thing was, when he said it the next time, I noticed that country minutes vary from year to year. But I want to preach to you on this because you're looking at me really weird, so I'm going to keep going here. And let's pray. Father, I do pray for Joanna, as I've asked these people to. Please, God, have mercy on her. And I know that you will use her to be an example to everybody around her, whether it's her sisters or people at the hospital, like it was with Alyssa and Miss Judy and Brother. I get that. Please use her that way. But God, we do pray at the end of this thing, you might have mercy on her, if it could be so. And so, Lord, I thank you for these precious folks that have been such an encouragement to Susan and I. And I pray that, God, tonight, as we wrap this 10 days up, these 12 messages, that last but not least will be appropriate, that it'll be last but not least. Please meet with us tonight. Help me to say something that'll help them and bless them for the kindness to us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, so finally, he said, I want to take your Bible, go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So he's saying, last but not least. And he gives them a couple nuggets there. And you see Paul do this several more times. That's what we're going to look at. Verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. I'm talking about a powerful verse for living. It says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm looking at it. It's Galatians. I'm going, that's a fine verse, but it is not the one I wanted. Ephesians 6, 10, where you ought to be, says this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Number one tonight, last but not least, as we part for until the next meeting or the real meeting that we anticipate, long for, look for. Let me say to you, Christians, depend on God. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. You know, Paul is getting ready to describe the spiritual warfare. Amen. We read it the other night. The spiritual enemies. And he's letting them know before he does who it is he needs to depend on. So that, it, like it says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God and he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He lets them know that. He lets them know who they can depend on so that they can stand. And Holy Spirit left this in the Bible so that you and I might know the same thing. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Amen. I want to stand. Amen. And so he tells them who to depend on. And that's good for you and I. We need to depend on God, beloved. Not yourself. You may do pretty good, but you're not as self-sufficient as you think. Amen. You'll fail. You'll fail yourself. I do all the time. Amen. And if you think you are self-sufficient, it's just a matter of time. Actually, what you are deceived. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Depend on God. Don't depend on yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Don't depend on your friends. I mean, eventually they'll let you down. Amen. Eventually you'll let them down.
Amen.
And then they won't be your friends anymore. But I tell you what, you and I can cut to the chase. It says in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in the men.
Amen.
And I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Like Proverbs 27 says, I don't know what's ahead. I got ideas. I got plans. But I really don't know what's coming, but I'm glad that I can put my confidence, that I can depend on God, that whatever comes, I know where to go for guidance, direction, strength, courage. Last but not least, for this week, these 12 messages, depend on God.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, you know, I noticed something in Song of Solomon chapter 2 where he says, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. And valleys is plural. In the hymn book, it's not plural. We sing the song about he's the lily of the valley, the bright, and that's all fine and true, and I love it. But one day I got looking at the verse in Song of Solomon, and valleys is plural, and what that means, that the God that you depended on, the last trial, the last struggle, the last test, the last valley, he'll be there for the next one. He'll be there for everyone. Amen. Your subscription does not run out. Amen. Last but not least, depend on God. Number two, take your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look with me in verse number 8. And Paul says this. As he gets to the end of this epistle, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what that tells me? That you and I have a responsibility. We have the ability and a responsibility to determine our attitude. I tell you, you know it as well as I do, that many things, I dare say most things in this life aren't any of those things. They're not true, they're not honest, they're not just, they're not pure, they're not lovely, they're not of a good report. No wonder lost people get addicted to drugs and get addicted to alcohol. No wonder they blow their brains out. You spend your whole life waking up each day trying to figure out how to think about things from the news or the television. I'm going to tell you what, it's depressing.
Yes.
But I tell you what, I see traveling around, I see Christians whose moods are determined, their attitude is sometimes determined by the cares of this world. And listen, I'll be the first to admit that some of them have legitimate concerns, just like Joanna, just like the Tebows have been going through. I get that. That's why we need to pray for one another. At the same time, I mean, we saw a t-shirt downtown on, downtown, we went to the Alamo on Friday. And we were across the street in one of those shops. We don't buy nothing. I don't even know why we do it. Okay, a piece of fudge. It was my birthday. And there's a t-shirt, a white t-shirt hanging in the clearance rack. It's white and it's got the big Dairy Queen logo on it, like the one right up here. And only it said Drama Queen. And buddy, I tell you what, I held that up across the store. Look at this. And we could think of probably a dozen. I wish I could have bought a crate of them. Because we go places, man, and people thrive on drama. They love to have drama. They're not heavenly minded. We go places where there's issues, and we'll take them to heart and pray for things. And think, hey, trials of life come and go. And I've seen God get great victory. And then we'll wait to hear that whatever it was we were praying about was resolved. And we brag on the Lord, and we'll go back the next year or 2 years later and there's something else. And we go back 2 years later and there's something else. And some people just thrive on it. They're drama junkies. Yeah. Man, I don't like drama. I like what it's talking about here. I like if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You've got a directive that regardless of what's going on in the world, if you can find something good, you better learn to think about that or you'll lose your joy. You'll lose everything except your salvation. You'll lose your testimony. I went to church in Memphis 1 year. There's a brother there that was always upbeat. He was a street preacher. And he was wherever he would go to the jails. And he was encouragement to me every time I'd see him. He got saved from a pretty rough background, rough childhood and everything. Grew up with a bad family. And he got saved. And he was just, like I say, an encouragement to me. 1 year we go there. And he's kind of he's real withdrawn, sullen, and not very talkative. And you know what? Listen, everybody has good and I was going to say bad hair days, and then I looked over at Brent. And Brent, what's your name again? Brent. And then, I got to write that down. And then, so I don't say nothing. And about the third day, I said, hey, Jimmy, man, I mean, I know you got, it's not my business, I'm not. But I want you to know I'm praying for you. Obviously, there's something going on. And, you know, he let loose then. He said, yeah. And whatever it was at the time, it had to do with something going on in the Mideast and Iran and Israel. And he's watching the news every single day and just getting so worked up and just getting so bummed out. And that's what leads to all the conspiracy hogwash. And finally, I just say, hey, brother, let me help you out. You need to turn that stinking thing off, whatever it is. You know what we need to do more often? We need to turn all that stinking media off.
Amen, amen.
Get back to thinking about souls. I read that stuff. It's entertaining. I'm going to suggest that Nancy Pelosi run for president. She's a riot. I can look at a blurb on the computer on Fox News, and there she is again. And I start laughing and then turn it off. Amen. I'm so glad that I know how this thing's going to end. I refuse to let this stuff. I was in prison, man. What could happen out here that depressed me? Well, if I heed my own advice, if I follow the Scripture, not much. But the cares of this life are real. The affairs of this life
are real. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to leave you with this thought this week. We're going to have to take our responsibility, and by the grace of God, and there's plenty of grace of God, we're going to need to determine our attitude. Quit worrying about things you have no control over. I'll use my wife. When she was married to my Bible teacher, and he is dying of Lou Gehrig's disease, when she could come to church, because a home nurse was there, or a situation like that, they went through that, she had a better spirit, a better attitude with her life, I mean, just ripped to pieces, than Christians that miss a car payment or something stupid. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You'll do a lot better. You'll do a lot better at encouraging someone else if you could get a hold of the importance of determining your attitude. All right, let me give you a couple verses. Proverbs 25 and 28 says this. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. No rule over his own spirit. Conversely, Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Amen. Let me give you some Dave Spurgeon theology. Either you rule your spirit or it will rule you. And if you got the Spirit of God living inside of you, it is not acceptable for anything else to rule your spirit. Amen. We're to be led of the Spirit. Is that right? Amen. All right. So again, we have the ability. Paul says in Acts 26, I think myself happy. Yeah. And he's in shackles. Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4, for number 2, determine your attitude. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any, that might mean a little, but if there be any praise, if there be any, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Last but not least tonight, depend on God. Amen. Quit getting yourself worked up in areas that you have no control over.
Amen.
And then determine your attitude. It is not acceptable for a child of God, a child of the King, to walk around with the mully grubs all the time. And again, I acknowledge we have days. What we also have is each other to help us through those days.
Thank you, Lord.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3. They love it when a preacher says that. Okay, good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Look what he says. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Last but not least, beloved, as we part company tomorrow, tonight, whatever, devote time to pray. Devote time to pray. Devote means do it on purpose. Not of obligation, not as an afterthought, but I mean devote. Here's why. Paul knew the difference between the gospel of Christ being the power of God unto salvation, or a message of condemnation, depending on what a person does with it, was prayer. And that was that way then, and that's the way it is now. And we need to pray that the gospel is a message of salvation.
Amen.
That's why we ask for prayer. That's why we pray for each other. The gospel's true, and the gospel's going to accomplish that, what God sent it out to do. And if a person rejects it, they're going to end up in hell. But that's not God's desire. It's not your desire. So we need to pray. We need to oil our efforts with prayer. Amen. I've come to recognize in a meeting how much prayer's gone into it. I learned this out in Arizona one year. I went to a church. It might have been our first time there. Little church. And we got in and I started on Sunday morning and I had liberty like I have here. I understand it now better. I had great liberty. I mean, to the point where I'm thinking, whoa, something's happening here. And I think somebody got saved, preached that night. Somebody got saved. I mean, it was like, the Holy Spirit let me look like I knew what I was doing. Only problem is, all the other people might have thought so, but I knew better. I knew something was different. And then Monday night, they asked for testimonies. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they did that. And so somebody said, I'm saying, well, I just want to thank God that last Monday night, a week before, last Monday night at the cottage prayer meetings over at so-and-so's house where half a dozen people got together. And, I mean, they prayed together and they sang some songs and they prayed together. And I just want to thank, and then the next person, and it went on for 3 days, and people are referring back to these prayer meetings. And one of them was like, so-and-so, two people got right with God at a prayer. The meeting hadn't even started. In reality, the meeting had started a week before the meeting started. Because they got together to pray. I said, this is why I'm doing so good. Because people pray. Yeah, and I understand that. And so when I go to a meeting, I can tell early on, I mean, I'm going to do my job, but I can tell if there's prayer been put into it. Let me give you another example. We're in Florida, and we're heading down South Florida, and we had one meeting up north first. And a phone rings. We're going down the road in a bus, and the phone rings, and the pastor's there, and he says, hey, Brother Spurgeon, what are those dates again? And it was like 5 days, 6 days later. And I told him. He said, okay, we'll be ready. And I hung up and I looked at my wife and I said, when they say that we'll be ready, they mean we'll have a place for you to park your rig. We'll have some meals set up. But I'm going to tell you what, I looked at my wife, I said, there ain't no prayer going to this meeting. 5 days before it started, they didn't even know what the dates were. And I looked at those two different, you know, contrasted those two scenarios, and when I got there, it was obvious there. Well, listen, I don't need another meeting. I got too many meetings. Amen. I could go home and relax for a week rather than just come to a place just to fulfill some kind of need to say, we had a spring revival, we had a fall revival, check it off the list, we had so-and-so, and we had, man, puke on that stuff. Yep. I don't even want any part of that thing. The thing that snagged me was Bible Christianity is real. Yep. And Paul is beseeching them, finally, brethren, pray for us. And that tells me that we need to devote time to pray. We need to pray for one another. Amen. You know, I've noticed this. I know you'll never believe this, but I have been upset with other Christians before. Yeah. And not only that, there have been other Christians that have been upset with me. I know. Hard to believe. And it wasn't that long ago. No. And here's what I've noticed. You can be mad at another Christian. You can be at odds with another Christian. You can be trying to figure out how to get it right. And that takes some time. But I'll tell you something I've learned. If you're taking somebody's name to the throne of grace regularly, it's hard to stay mad at them. I mean, our issues are between us, but when you get him involved, they seem really small. Amen. Amen. I took marriage, divorce, and remarriage class in Bible Institute. Got an A in all three. And let me get that later. And my pastor, and this was how he gave, this was a marriage advice thing when a couple's at odds with each other, but it really works for church members too. And he drew a triangle on a piece of paper, if you can imagine a triangle right up here. And there's God at the top of the triangle. And the man and the woman, and it could, again, could be two church members. They're not in unity anymore. They're separate. And they can't seem to connect. And Pritchard said if they would both focus on getting closer to God,
amen,
and forget about their differences, and both focus on getting closer to God, they're getting closer to each other. That's my speed. That's what I looked at that and went, that made perfect sense. Amen. Amen. It's hard to be mad at somebody if you're really praying for them. We need to pray for missionaries. Amen. I don't know what it's like. I'm still struggling with the English language. Yeah, my wife, when I married her and they put our five kids together, she said, okay, this is the quarter jar, and anybody that says they've got to put a quarter in the jar. I vetoed that in about a week. Yeah, so I'm trying to, you know, for the first 10 years out or 5 years out, say people would put their hands over their kids' ears when I went to give a testimony because they're afraid something would slip. I don't think it slipped. I think I did pretty good, but I'm going to tell you what, anybody can go to a foreign field and learn a foreign language. That's utmost respect. Amen. And to leave family and leave home, and they need our prayer. Amen. They deserve our prayer. They need our support. They deserve it. Amen. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I'm doing that several places through my missionaries. But you know what they need more than your money is your prayer.
Yeah.
And everybody can pray. You need to pray for evangelists. Pretty sure I'm the only one that I know of that comes here, so I expect a lot of prayer from you guys. Is that okay? I mean, because he's giving me that look. I don't know.
Well, that check can still bounce.
I'll be on the road a month before I can find a place to catch it. Take your glasses off. I'll be fuzzy. You won't care. Amen. Listen, I've been on the road 40 years, 20 some each side of the cross. Not a problem. I love the highway. I love what I do. But listen, I am not deceived into thinking that we get from point A to point B because I'm such a great driver. My Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Pray for Mrs. Wonderful and I. I know you'll never believe this. There's some days she's not that nice to be around. Or is it me? One of us. Probably me. Amen. We got to pray for one another. Pray for your pastor. Pastors. Yeah. I'm telling you why, because it seems like Bible believers sometimes have forgotten that there's supernatural opposition to this, to the work of the Bible ministry. I don't know what all them other crowds get or do. I don't think the devil's worried about money them. But if you're trying to stand on that book, there's opposition. Amen. Paul knew the importance of prayer, and he said, finally, brethren, he's talking to a spiritual church in Thessalonica. How do you say that? I know I would say that. I've been saying it for 28 years, but here I am standing in front of everybody looking dumb. Hi, Joe. You know better. But at least I don't have to worry about not getting paid for it. Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Last but not least tonight, depend on God. Determine your attitude. In Daniel chapter 2, the phrase was Daniel purposed in his heart. And we need to just purpose in our heart. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And look with me in verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe.
Amen.
Could I say to you tonight, last but not least, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And chapter 4, I think he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let me help you. It'll be easier to delight yourself in the Lord if you quit taking yourself so seriously. People say, why do you joke around? Because this is how I counter my natural spirit. I guarantee you that nobody saw a joke, heard a joke. Very few ever saw a smile in 15 years with the motorcycle gangs. I have to make concentrated effort not to think more highly of myself than I should, and so do you. And I'll tell you what, I'll help you with that. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychologist. Let's just put the Lord Jesus Christ in His proper place and delight ourselves in the fact that we're His.
Amen.
Last but not least, delight thyself in the Lord. Jack Wood. Some of you guys remember the old Texas preacher. When I met him, I was 3 weeks out of jail, and he said this to me. He picked me out of a crowd. Might have been the ponytail. I'm not sure. But he came over to me, and he was in his 60s then. And he came over and he says, what's your story, boy? And I said, I got saved in jail. My preacher brought me down here to learn how to be a Christian. He gave me some advice that I still recall to this day. And then he said this. Don't try to endure Christianity. Learn to enjoy it.
Amen.
That's what he said to me, preacher, first time we ever met. And I'm thinking, endure. I think he said, I perceive you don't have the character to, and that's probably what he meant, to endure. Just learn to enjoy it. I mean, I got no problem picking enjoy over endure. Amen. And I've endeavored to do that, and I do that.
Amen.
And I preach to people that are enduring it. Trying to live the Christian life because they know it's right, or because they know they should, or maybe because you realize you owe it to God and you sure enough know it's the best thing you could ever do for your kids.
Amen.
But you're not enjoying it. Amen. If you're not enjoying it, you're robbing yourself. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What a precious promise. Don't go to the Cadillac dealer next week. I'm sorry, we're in Texas. Don't go to the pickup truck dealer next week and name and claim a new Ford truck. It's not what it is. But I know this. I put it to the test. If you'll truly delight yourself in the Lord, the desires of your heart will be to please Him.
Amen.
To serve Him, to love Him, and I'm happy to report He will let you. Finally, my brethren, he said there in Philippians 3 and verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. Now I say to you, delight. Delight in the Lord. All right, now take your Bible, go to Revelation 22. Because I went off the rails with the alliteration here, and we're just about done. But we're talking about last but not least. Let's look at the last quote of the Lord Jesus Christ in your Bible. Revelation 22 in verse 20. And it says this, He which testifieth these things saith, here it is, surely I come quickly.
Amen.
Amen. To which Paul, or to which John wrote, and I concur, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the last thing he said, I come quickly. And I know it seems like it wasn't very quick, except for that a day with the Lord is a thousand. Okay, you know where it's at. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1,000 years is as a day. It's only been 2 days. He's coming. Amen.
Amen.
We've been in church for 10 days. Many of you have been here every night. Many of you were here as many as you could.
Amen.
We've had a good meeting. I can tell that. I mean, I got enough spiritual discernment to know we've had a good meeting. The presence of the Lord has been here, and He didn't ride in with me in that big old bus. The Lord's been here because you wanted Him to be here, because you invited Him to be here, because you prayed, like we said. Because some of you have done business with God over areas that the Spirit of God convicted you about, and I trust that perhaps in your seat or somewhere else. You've taken something that was said and took it to heart and did business with God. It said, surely I come quickly. My question is this. How would he find you if he came today?
Amen.
Because he's coming one of these days. Would he find you depending on him?
Amen.
Or all wrapped up in your own agenda?
Amen.
Amen. Or the cares of this world just got you so off track, so off focus?
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Then these words, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Amen.
And I mean that fast.
Yeah.
You and I go into lean on our own understanding.
Amen.
Mode. We get some experience. We definitely have plenty of ideas. And before we ever take anything to God, we start talking about how it ought to be. I don't want to be found like that, operating under my own power, my own strength when the Lord comes back. Some of us only depend on Him when things are bad. I tell you what, there'd be less times when things were bad if we learned to depend on Him all the time.
Amen.
Amen. Then the cares of this life come and go, and you go, all right, Lord, let's see how it goes. I don't fret near as much as I used to. Do you? If he came back tonight, would he find you determined that you are going to maintain an attitude to glorify God?
Amen.
Or like many Christians, if he came back tonight, he'd find them whining and complaining and griping and criticizing. And I've been guilty of all those things. That's why I know what I'm talking about. It's unacceptable. Like I told you yesterday, I learned some things at that memorial service about me. And I got some things right with God about making a big deal out of things that were stinking nothing. Because I had to have my own way. When people took care of that child their whole life and loved her, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed of myself for getting involved in bad fights with other Christians. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. I've been in plenty lousy fights. I don't want to be found like that.
Amen.
When the Lord comes back.
Amen.
I don't want to be. Amen?
Amen.
Would if he came back tomorrow, tonight, would he find you devoting time to prayer? Or are you devoting more time to social media? Every time I hear of something on the news that goes back to what somebody started or some mess that somebody started anonymously by throwing out, I go, how ridiculous is that? But what breaks my heart is I go church to church and I find out that there are inner Christian struggles because somebody's putting stuff on social media that should have been either dealt with face to face or not, didn't need to be said at all.
Right.
And it's eating us up and it's a device of the devil and it's killing us. And I get it, we're in the last days. I get it. Lord's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back. Would he find you delighting in him? Or are you, like we preached one day, are your affections set? I'm saved. I got a King James Bible. I got a church. I go once in a while. Maybe I go every service. But your affections can be wrapped around.
That's right.
Whatever. I could start with a list, but if I missed you, you'd be glad. I don't want to miss you. Forget the list. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right, so last but not least, just some parting thoughts here. And let me just say this. Last. I promise. Take your Bible, go to John 19. Definitely not least. The last thing Jesus said before giving up the ghost, John 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And bowed his head and gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. He gave it up. So I just want to leave you with this question. Is it finished for you? Is the issue of eternity settled? I hope it is. In other words, are you saved? Do you know on the authority of the Word of God that you're saved? 1 John 5 and 13 says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know." There's a lot of things I don't know, but I know that. Amen? And when other things I question or doubt, not talking about the Bible, but issues of life, I can go right back to that. I'm a child of God, and I can go to my Father. I'm glad I know that I'm saved. And if you're in here tonight and you don't, you need to get that thing squared away. Amen. You know, it's hard, a church scenario, because people make professions and then they know they need to get saved. I understand. That would be a little weird. But weird or not, if you're not saved, you better get saved. Before it's too late.
Amen.
And the Lord did everything necessary to get saved.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He asked very little of us. A little honesty. Mm-hmm. I got honest with God one morning. Maybe I got honest with myself, too, one morning in a jail cell. And I found myself very needy of what Jesus Christ was offering. And I reached out and I got a hold of it.
Amen.
And he ain't never let go of me.
That's true.
Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you for a good meeting. Lord spoke to your heart. Let's do business with God. If there's a chance in a million you're not saved, get that thing straightened out.